Yeah, we do do life together, and you really need to do everything you can to make time to get in one of those groups. Relationships, they're the currency of life, and it will help you, it'll bless you. You're going to hear an incredible word about that today. It's Pentecost Sunday. We remember the birth of the church, the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 today, where he transformed a bunch of rebels, that's the best way I know how to put it, into mighty witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he still does that today. He's doing it today. And I just want to make some comments as well about this week. We saw yesterday a rocket launched into space, the first one that's happened in the U.S. in almost a decade. Incredible moment for everyone. But in the same token, this week, we saw and heard of just a terrible act that I call him young. He's 46 years old, but he's young to me. A young man's life was taken by just a senseless act. I want to just comment on this a minute, that because one police officer did something very wrong in the moment doesn't make every police officer bad. Just because one pastor does something wrong doesn't make every pastor bad. Because a doctor makes a mistake or does something wrong, even willfully, doesn't make every doctor a bad person. And we, as the Church of Jesus, are called to love, to pray, and to demonstrate this in a very powerful and a unique way. I said earlier today that I used to say, I've spoken in African-American churches all over, actually, I like speaking in African-American churches. They respond to me better than my white brothers and sisters. And I used to say, I'm a black man shut up in a white man's suit. And my son Ryan, or my son Garrett, one day, he said, Dad, I don't think you should say that. He said, you don't know what it's like to be a black man. I pondered that, and he was 100% right. Never meant any disrespect by that, and still don't today. But I want to tell all my brothers and my sisters, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, whoever you are, all over the world, and friends in countries all over the world, that we love you, we stand with you. And we don't take a moment like this for some type of a photo optic to make everybody think that we're something that we are not. You can come any Tuesday when we open back up and see who we are. You can see the friends that we hang around with. You can see the people that we associate with. And my heart breaks for our nation right now. My brothers and sisters, you and I are called to be better, to do better. And I believe that we need to stand up for what's right. And I stand with you on that. I have no idea what it's like to be a black man. But I want every one of my African-American brothers and my sisters to know today that we weep with you, we mourn, we're sorry. This has been a rough week. We had a leader meeting last night on Zoom. Tears were running down half the people's faces that were on that. Our intention is to love one another. We're not going to take an opportunity like this, make everybody think we're something that we are not. We are who we say we are. We love you. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can see. The book of James says, you say you have faith without works. He said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. And that's exactly what we'll do. What we'll continue to do. We feed people. Our food pantry is open every Thursday from 11 to 1. Our food pantry is open on Saturday from 10 to noon. We haven't just started that up in a time for some type of attention or photo op. We've been doing this for almost 20 years. We have done it. We do it. And we'll continue to do it. And everyone is welcome there. Everyone. I love you. I stand with you. We pray together. We're going to come through this. I declare we will be better. You and I, we're going to be better together. I'm so honored today to share this platform with my son, Pastor Ryan McDonald, right at home. Give some thumbs up, give some loves as we welcome him to come.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. What a blessing you are to the body of Christ, even sharing this video, being involved this morning. We're just so grateful and thankful. I always want to say this morning, but in particular this morning, it's an honor to share the pulpit with my father. I have such honor and respect for him. You know, today in particular, I just want to say that I have a great amount of respect for him for another reason. We didn't grow up in a home where there was racial slurs. There was a leaning in any direction other than love. You know, when my dad says we live it out, he does live it out. When we grew up, my father, if we stepped out of line as young men, he told us, "You're to treat people. You're to talk to people. You're to engage people in an appropriate manner as a man, but not only as a man, but as a child of God. You're to treat people in a way that's pleasing to God." So in our home growing up, I never had to fight against that growing up. And I know some do, and I pray God's help in your life. But I'm thankful this morning to have parents who love people, truly love people. They don't just say it. I get tired of people saying things and Facebook posts, and I want to see people to walk it out and live the words that they're saying, and my parents do just that. Aren't you thankful for them this morning? Amen. Hey, today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is the birth of the church. It is the indwelling of the church through the Holy Spirit. It is a significant day. Not only in history, but it's a significant day in your life and in my life. Because we can't be who we need to be. We can't walk out this love and affection and care for one and another in our flesh. It's a difficult thing. It's a tough walk if you walk this life alone. And I'm going to get into that in a minute. But first, I want to tell you, you need Jesus in your life. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the moment that you say yes to Jesus, the Scripture says that you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. That's a profound realization. You can go through life and you can try all you want to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, which the fruit of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit that indwells you the minute you say, "Yes, Jesus, come and be a part of me." And as you grow and as you mature and as you walk this walk out, your walk with fear and trembling, the Bible says, you walk in the likeness and in the image of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that you can walk in the image of Jesus Christ as you make a decision, as you engage in walking the way God has asked you to walk, and He'll help you to do it through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This morning, 50 days after Easter, we welcome, not only in history, but here this morning for the Holy Spirit to have His way. Let me just tell you something else, and I haven't said this before, but I do want to say it. I can get up here and preach all I want to, and you walk away and you say, "Ah, that was okay. You know, I've been around church a long time. The church is in me." But when the Holy Spirit speaks through a man, when He indwells a person, and the filling of the Holy Spirit comes out in ministry, your life will never be the same. I never want to take credit for good preaching, because I can get up here and bomb it, but the moment we begin to give attention and give respect and give honor to what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives and in a service and in our families, all of a sudden things begin to change in our country, in our state, in this world. When we begin to reflect, when we begin to honor what God can do in a people, the scripture says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. See, there's a humility and saying, I can't do it in my own strength. I need the Holy Spirit to help me. When my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, then you'll hear from heaven and I'll heal my land. We need to begin to declare that the Holy Spirit, we need the Holy Spirit to do a work that we can't do in our own strength. I hope I get an amen this morning. And in John, just one more reference to it. John 14:25-26, it says, all this I have spoken while still here, Jesus is saying. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you things and remind you of everything that I've said. Let me just say this. We need reminding. We know a lot of things. We've been taught a lot of things. We've heard a lot of things. But we need reminding from the Holy Spirit to say, hey, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't talk like that. Don't walk like that. And don't hang around those that do. I'm committing now more than ever. I will not hang out with racist people. I will not listen. I will not stand idly aside and listen to comments and gestures that are anything less than God's best for us and his people and his house. We will rebuke racism. We will rebuke hate. We will rebuke the things that the scripture describes in Galatians as fruits of the flesh. We'll rebuke it in Jesus' name. I want to talk to you this morning. Begin to talk about the Holy Spirit and the relationship with him. It's a walk, man. I'm telling you, my life is so changed by the gospel. My life is so changed by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. I'll never be the same. I will never, ever, ever be the same. And I could not take credit for what God has done through his Holy Spirit in my life. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I think of the wife that I have. I think of the children that I have. I am so blessed by the Holy Spirit, his directing and leading. But I'm not only blessed by him. I'm blessed by the people who I begin to walk with. I'm blessed by family and friends. There's a statement. It says, some are family, but some are friends that become like family. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the house of God, the establishment of the church. That's what today is all about, the establishment of the church and the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful for it. I got the greatest friends and people in my life in the world. You know, there's been some people that have left me. There has been some people that they were attached to my past, but I'll tell you, I cleave to my future. I cleave to the people God is bringing into my life, and I press on. I reach on for the goal, the prize that Christ Jesus has for me. I can't live in yesterday. I live in today. I live in what the Holy Spirit is leading me to, and just imagine if you don't do that. Just imagine if you get stuck in a cycle of your past because you can't accept the relationship of the Holy Spirit. You can't accept the relationship that the Holy Spirit sends you to take you into that next phase in your life. Father, mother, son, daughter, your heart is broken because some people left you. But don't attach yourself to the past. Cleave to the future. The Holy Spirit is sending you people and resources and opportunity. And it's coming in the form of a friend. It's coming in the form of a relationship. It's not you. It's the Holy Spirit working in your life. In Genesis, the scripture starts out and it speaks through eternity. It says it's not good for man to be alone. He's building a foundation in the book of Genesis that carries out through the book of Revelations. And in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, this wonderful moment in Acts 2 happens where he begins to connect people of different languages. People who look different, people who walk different, people who talk different. And it's the description of it is all through the book of Acts. You read it for yourself. I'll read a small portion of it. My father shared a couple months ago that we're the average of the five people we spend the most time with. I don't know about you, but that's striking to me. All through the Proverbs, and I won't take the time to read them, but statements like this. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. A friend loves at all times. The righteous choose their friends carefully. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good morals. And on and on and on. The scripture is telling us how important it is to walk with the wise. You know how you become wise? You can't get wise through any book. You can't get wise just through any person. You'll get wise when you get around people that know the Holy Spirit and know the works of the Holy Spirit and know how to walk out the fruit of the Spirit. I'll tell you what, I've met some wise people lately that walk out love and they walk out kindness and they walk out compassion and they walk out the love of Jesus in their lives. You want to get wise? You want to have wisdom beyond your day? You want the Holy Spirit to do something in your family that you've never seen possible? Get up every morning at 5:30 and read your Bible app. Get up every morning and spend 20 minutes with the Holy Spirit. Begin to give God a tithe on your day. You begin to spend 2 hours in His Word and 2 hours in prayer during a day. You say, I don't have time. I can't do it. I work too much. I've got this. I've got that. Let me tell you something. That is the work of the enemy in your life, just to beat you into submission to work. You can read it in the Old Testament where Pharaoh said, double the workload on them. That was because they couldn't pray. They couldn't ask God, what will you do? What will you see? What will you accomplish if you spend that time with the Holy Spirit in the morning? It wasn't even in my notes. See, he's working. Some people say, I really need a friend. I've heard my dad say this 1,000 times. You know what? He said, if you need a friend, show yourself friendly. How simple that is, but how true it is. When you show yourself friendly to the Holy Spirit, when you begin to read His Word, you begin to really dig into who He is, He'll show Himself friendly to you. Little things will happen, little happenings, little things will happen, and you'll just say, oh man, you're so good, God. You've done such great things. All of a sudden, He'll do something in your child. He'll do something in your spouse. He'll do something in your church that you never expected. And here's how it happened, because you took the time. You spent the time with Him. You sowed to the Spirit and not of the flesh, and He's doing something miraculous in your life. I'm a testimony of it. I got some haters in my life. Oh, he's got it this because of that, and he's doing this because of that. I'm doing it for one reason and one reason only. My father decided I'm going to serve the Lord. My family, my mother decided I'm going to serve the Lord. I decided I'm going to serve the Lord. And all of a sudden, he just brings all these little blessings. He brings his kindness. He brings his comfort. He brings his peace. He brings his blessing and just splattered as it all over me. So I'm a walking, talking, living blessing of the Lord. Everywhere I go, people say he's blessed. Everywhere you'll go, people say you're blessed and highly favored. God's hand is on your life. It's because the fruit of who you are comes from the Holy Spirit when you walk with Him. Thank you, Lord. Many people would say this. Something is wrong. I've heard so many people say this over the years of being around the church. Something's wrong. I just don't feel it. Just something wrong. I want to pose to you this morning that it's not something that's wrong. It's that someone is missing. Someone who God has sent to your life. Someone who God has sent to your business. Someone who God has sent to your workplace. Someone who God has sent to your church. And you've rejected them. You've looked the other way because of comfort, because of system, because of processes that have been there forever. It's not that something is wrong. It's that you haven't received the someone that God has sent you, and they're missing. Someone is missing. It's not something is wrong. Someone is missing. Community connection, relational connection, friendship, togetherness. The lack of community has created a hole in a life. We have learned through COVID. If we've learned anything through COVID, we need people. Anybody you talk to, I've had people say, oh, it just doesn't bother me being away from people. Lie. That's a lie. That is such a lie. The enemy wants you to believe that. Even people who do stay to themselves, who do kind of do their own thing. I've seen them, they get around just a couple people and they just sprout all together. Oh, it's so great to see you. It's because they're meant to be with someone. They're meant to, you've seen it. It's funny, isn't it? You'll see people that are all quiet, tied off to themselves. They'll see two or three people and all of a sudden, oh, they'll just come lighten up. Hey, how you doing? It's so great to see you. It's because COVID has taught us we need people. The average American, get this now, statistically, the average American only has two friends. I want to tell you this morning, who do you want to become? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to achieve could be held in one connection. You're one friend. You're one relationship away from your life totally being altered. Be careful. They might not be the color of your skin. They might not look like you. They might not walk like you. They might not talk like you. God didn't promise you that they'll fit into your little window of what you think they should be. God didn't say, I'll make them this way so they look like you, talk like you, act like you. He said, no, 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 no. They might look totally different than you. It's your choice to receive them, and we'll receive you. You want to be a part of City Church? You want to have a voice? You want to serve the work of the ministry? We'll take you any way you look, any way you talk, any way you dress. I'm weird enough looking. Look at me. They let me up here. If they'll let me up here, they'll let you up here. We'll take you just the way you are, just the way God made you, just the way He made you walk and talk, and we'll give you a place to serve. Couple wonderful scriptures, Acts chapter 2, and I want to read this to you. This is what the Pentecost, this is the representation of it in the scripture. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brother, what shall I do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. He says it in this name, the name of Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I love just this little phrase. I hope you catch this. The promise is for you and your children who are afar off. It's not just for me. It's not just for a certain type of last name, a certain type of look. When Pentecost happened, there was the scripture literally says there was different languages. When there's different language, there's a different representation. There's a different look of people throughout the crowd. And God begins to work in that setting. He doesn't work in this just this little setting, this little demographic of people. He works in all people. And it says this. I love this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. I love the breaking of bread. I love the breaking of steak. I love the breaking of hamburgers. It's interesting that the scripture takes the time to say they devoted themselves to the apostles, the apostle this morning being my father. They devoted themselves to them. And then they broke bread. They ate together. They had fellowship together. They grew together. They loved one another, whether they looked the same or not. Jesus loved them, and then they loved each other. That's what we're called to love God and to love people. The Jesus got challenged. They were going to try to catch him in a little whoop-de-doo in the scripture. And they said, what's the greatest of the commandments, Jesus? What's the most important? And the scripture literally says they tried to catch him in a little something. And Jesus looks back throughout eternity to you and to me. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And you know what else he says? He says, love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Whoever lives there. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Those are the greatest commandments. And this morning, I want to talk about that just for a minute. You're one connection away. You're one person away from your life drastically being changed. I want to talk about three types of friends this morning. I've talked about one. I've talked about the relationship with the Holy Spirit. I hope you know how important that is. Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. But I want to talk about three friends in the flesh that I believe God has sent into every life. And He continues to send those relationships, but it's up to us to receive them. Three types of relationships. Father, move in this place. Holy Spirit, have your way. David wasn't a perfect man in Scripture, but the Scripture does say he was a man after God's own heart. He had a huge, significant failure that many of us know, but I believe the right people helped him become the right person. Let me say that again. The right people will help you become the right person. The contrary is true. The wrong people will help you to become the wrong person. Amen. There are three friends that I want to talk about. The number one friend, I love this one. It's a friend that sees you better. In Scripture, the Lord, He begins to talk to Samuel. He begins to minister to Samuel. And it says, the Lord said to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, how long will you mourn for Saul? There's so much significance in this Scripture. I hope you'll go back and read it later. God is telling Samuel, I'm going to challenge the system that has been for so long. I'm going to use you to do it. And I'm going to use you to be a friend to a man that I'm going to use to change the system. This is how it goes. Samuel says to him, if Saul hears that I do this, he's going to kill me. And the Scripture literally says, the Lord said, go. So he goes and he gets to this territory. And he begins to speak to the family. He begins to speak to the people there. And this tall, the Scripture says, this tall, beautiful man comes strutting out. You know what I'm talking about, that kind of guy. He's not exactly shaped the way I am. He's got a little different shape. He comes walking out, and Samuel literally says, this has got to be the guy. Look at the way he looks. Look at the way he talks. Look at him. This has got to be the man. And God begins to speak to him. He says words like this, man looketh at the outside, but I look at the inward man. He said, Samuel begins to say, there's got to be someone else, and even his own father. Even his own father says to him, oh, it can't be the guy out on the backwoods. It can't be the guy out taking care. I do have a boy. I do have a boy that's out back serving. He's out back sowing. He's out back taking care of the details. I do have one more son. And Samuel says, that's the one. And right in this moment, before he does anything great, before David and Goliath, before that story, God anoints him to be king at that moment. Wow. You need a friend that'll see you better. You need a friend that'll say, you know what, guy? You need to start that business. You know what, guy? You need to teach that Bible study. You know what, guy? You need to do that thing that you've always dreamed of doing. Samuel begins to say, I see you better, David, than you are today. I see you doing great things. My mom, well, every morning, just about every morning, she'll call me. How you doing, honey? She knows I'm up doing my reading. How you doing, honey? What's going on, honey? I say, how you doing, Mom? Well, you're gonna do great today. If I'm preaching on a Sunday, she'll call me 2-3 days before. I want you to know, I know you're gonna have something great. You need people in your life that see you better than your current circumstance. Bishop Chris Ball calls me a month ago. He says, man, I just wanted to call and tell you, I believe in you. Man, you know what that does to a person? I want you to know, Kai's standing up here. I believe in him. I see him better. He did great this morning. He did fantastic this morning. But God has so much more, and you need those people in your life that see you better than your current circumstance. God uses Samuel and puts just one man on his heart. And he says, God has chosen you. God has called you. Will you be a friend who sees people better. That if I can just drop something in your heart, if you're 50 and above and you have a hard time with this, catch this now. This is gonna heal a heart. The reason that you have a hard time with this is because no one ever did it for you. That's the truth. It's hard to do something that you've never seen. You've never seen modeled before. But I want to speak to your heart and to your spirit this morning. The moment that you break that cycle and begin to speak into young people, you begin to speak into your children, your nephews and nieces, all of a sudden there will be this trail of people that God sows into your life to say, hey, man, all of a sudden you won't expect it. They'll say, hey, man, I know you're 50. I know you're 60, but God still has great things for you. You need a friend that'll see you better. Come on, do you believe that this morning? Number two, the second friend that you need a friend that helps you find strength. David is a shepherd boy, and now David is anointed king because someone saw him better. And all of a sudden, David's a war hero. The scripture literally says that he comes into town and there's women singing in the street that Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. So Saul gets mad. Saul gets angry. And in 1 Samuel 23:15 it says this, while David was in a place, he learned that Saul had come to take out his life. And Saul's own son, Jonathan, get that right now, went to David and helped him find strength in the Lord. And I'm moving quick right now. But I want to tell you something. You need a friend that'll help you find strength. A couple weeks ago, we got done, I don't know what we were doing. We got done doing something, though. And we went back to our house, and we had some friends over, Todd and Cheryl Cross. We kept our 6-foot difference, and we put blankets over our heads and everything. We stayed way away from each other, and we were talking, and I was just a little discouraged. I gotta work this thing now, otherwise I'll get a little upset. And all of a sudden, I'm saying this and I'm saying that, and Cheryl looks back at me and she says these words, Ryan, but you've done so much. You've accomplished so much on Tuesday nights. You've blessed so many kids. You've done so much good. Their lives will never be the same. Cheryl and Todd became my Jonathan in that moment. You need people. You need friends. You need connections that help you find strength. And God, can you believe they did that to me in my own kitchen? Who are they? No, I'm just kidding. You need those people. Number three, and lastly, and I'm finishing. A friend that sees you better, a friend that helps you find strength, and number three, this is a tough one, a friend that'll tell you the truth. David was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart, but he took his eye off of God and placed it on a lady. You know the story. He commits a horrible sin. The trouble at that moment, he didn't understand the gravity of what he did. God sends Nathan to him, and Nathan communicates to him in love, in kindness, in grace, and says to him, there was a man who took a sheep from another man, a rich man took from a poor man. And David said, I can't believe that. He was outraged. Nathan looked back at him and said, you are that man. Interesting, just a couple thoughts out of that. Nathan didn't leave him. He stayed. He committed to being his friend, even though he didn't agree with what he did. Can you believe this even? Nathan in the scripture even communicated, after he communicated what he did wrong, catch this now, he communicated God's grace for him. He told David, you won't die, you'll live. God's grace is sufficient for you. You need a friend that can pull you off to the side and say, man, you're full of pride. You're full of hatred. You're racist. You can't talk like that. Being around church a long time, I've been around church as long as anybody watching, I'm sure. I've heard a lot of people communicate. One thing that I've noticed in church, and if this is you this morning, make the change. One thing I've noticed is people in the church that will never receive any type of correction. They won't receive, hey man, you're headed off a cliff. You need to stop. People in the church that go through this cycle of hurt and pain and depravity, all because they don't have a friend that says, dude, you're headed in the wrong direction. Ma'am, you're headed in an area, you're headed in a direction that'll destroy your life. Three friends that you need. A friend that'll see you better, can see you beyond your current circumstance. Number two friend that you need. A friend that'll help you find strength, that'll grab you by the hand and say, hey man, you're going to get through it. And the last type of friend that you need a friend that'll correct you with God's love, with God's grace, with God's patience when you take a wrong turn. I'd started out with this, and I'm going to end with this. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, none of this works. You can't find a friend like I've described in a bar. You can't find a friend like I've described. Maybe you can't find them at work. But you can find them right in the house of God. I know you can't come right now. I know you can't be here right now. But you can get on the Connect group. And I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit to tell you, don't get too busy to get on those calls. One relationship could alter the history of your life. And not only your life, look where I'm standing right now. Look where I am. I have been seen better by a father that was saw better by God. Engage the relationship that God has sent for you to engage, to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And secondly, you're one person away from your life never being the same. I want you to this morning, my dad, I love him so much. He's a great friend. He's been all three of these things for me. He's seen me better. He's seen me at my worst and said, hey, man, you're going to come out of that. He's helped me find strength. In times that I was done, man, I was ready to throw in the towel. I was running out the back door. And lastly, he's been the type of friend who said, dude, don't do that again. That's wrong. Would you welcome your pastor this morning?
Wish he didn't do that and then hand me the mic. It's the day of Pentecost. Some of you are looking for the power of God's Spirit. Can I just affirm to you today that I met God's power when people did what he said today, saw me better. I remember sitting in a car after a men's meeting in 1995 in a driveway in Seattle, Washington. Man, I was broken. I was lost. I was hurting. I'd been lied to. I'd been lied about. I'd been hurt severely. I almost was done with everything. The only trouble is I didn't know where I could go. I didn't know what else I could do. But a man looked at me. He said, Marty, tell me what you'd like to do. And I remember telling him, I want to move back to New York. I'd love to live on my wife's family farm. I'd love to be a pastor. I was so far from that. Can I tell you, I was so far from that. He looked at me. It's my friend Bob. He looked at me. He said, Marty, you'd be great at all of that. He said, I believe God with you. I was working with and for him at the time in Seattle, Washington. He sat in his car in Kent, Washington. He said, you can do that. Some of you need to give your life to Jesus today. You've heard me say this. You've heard others say it. And you just say things like, yeah, that's nice. Well, you know, someday. Today is the day for you. Don't wait another day. Do you know everything that you're missing right now? I'm not saying that you're not a good person. But good people, it's not enough. Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't take this lightly. And you shouldn't either. Will you pray with me today? And I want you to open up your mouth. The Bible says, confession is made unto salvation. I want you to say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, open your mouth up and say it just like I'm saying. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me all of my failures, my things that I did wrong, things I knew were wrong when I did them. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. Renew. I pray for some today that you need a renewal in your life. Renew me. Say it. Renew me today, God. Let your power fall and flow into my life today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. I really mean it. Love you. Need you. Can't wait to hang out with you. Break some bread. We're going to get Pastor Aaron Martin to make bread. He's going to make it for the whole church. I don't know how we're going to share it. Maybe we'll just put butter on it. Maybe we'll put some pizza sauce on it. I don't know. We're going to break bread. We're going to rejoice together. We're just going to not take for granted each other ever again. Thank you. Thank you, each and every one of you, for giving. Don't forget. Push Pay app, text 77977. Just text the word The City Church MI. Go to our website, thecitychurch.com. Send it in the mail, City Church 210 East Main, Batavia, New York, 14020. We do life together. I love you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace in Jesus' name.